in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna.
Hey, congratulations to the Marquette basketball team who beat Southern last night. That's not what I'm necessarily congratulating them for. Head coach Shaka Smart reached 100 career wins at the helm of the Golden Eagles. So kudos to Shaka Smart and to Marquette for starting out the season 2-0. They'll play Indiana, Gabe, you were saying, in Chicago this Sunday. I want to get to this sound from Chris Canty. We've been talking about the green and gold, obviously coming off of that loss. I did find this funny, guys. You know, we always get some reaction from the folks on the YouTube stream and in the Carbliss talk and text line. And this guy, Dr. Denver Dan, says, hardworking people are looking for something to be positive about. The Packers provides that. This station is taking that away, lecturing us about seeking sunshine on a cloudy day. And then Sparky responds, so because they're being realistic about the team and you want to delude yourself, they're the problem? Okay, again.
I mean, look.
So if you don't want to talk about the issues the Green Bay Packers have, you're going to want to stick your fingers in your ears for this next segment.
I want to be positive about the Packers. But then when you literally have your worst loss against the spread since the merger and lose when you're 13.5-point favorites at home, yeah, guess what? There's some problems. Might be some problems. We got to talk about them.
So let's talk about it. That is actually a BetterHelp promotion right there. Let's talk about it. Our friends over at BetterHelp. So Chris Canty was on Sportsmanlike. And of course, the Packers are in a very good position right now from a division standpoint. Gabe, you mentioned it earlier. They still lead the division. There's a lot of ball left to play. And Chewy was saying, as these things sort of start to build up, you start to go, hey, can they keep this show on the road? Can they keep things together? Here's what Chris Canty had to say about if the Packers do struggle down the stretch.
I do want to quickly say the start. Starts off with a caller who is a Packers fan calling in.
Oh, okay, but very optimistic, I'm sure.
Yes, we are favored against Philly, but if you look at the remainder of the schedule, for argument's sake, let's assume we split the division games. That means losing at Detroit, losing one game each against Chicago and the Vikings, losing against Denver, likely, I would say, because of their defense, and then probably losing against the Ravens that are going to be desperate. That's five more losses. I don't think we're going to make the playoffs, even though we lead the division.
Oh, somebody getting fired if that happened.
Absolutely.
If they don't make the playoffs, somebody getting fired.
It's not Goody. You can't blame him for going out and getting Micah Parsons, the general manager.
Yeah, so that means you're firing Matt LaFleur.
Yep.
I mean,
I think that's pretty cut and dry.
It's a possibility, and that's what I thought of, and it's all going to be dependent upon this game and how they play. I agree with you, Gabe. If it's a hard-fought game, they fly around but still lose – I'll still have faith, but if they get blown out, it's kind of feeling sorry for yourself, licking your chops, and, I mean, we've seen it before where good teams all of a sudden go south. I mean, it's realistic.
I still think that this is a playoff team. There is enough talent on this roster, even without Tucker Kraft, to be a playoff team. I think they still could potentially win the division because – as much as I like Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions, they've stubbed their toe a couple of times this year as well. They're not the juggernaut that they were a season ago. And if they win the division, get to host a playoff game, everybody's safe. But in the scenario that the caller laid out, I mean, Canty's 100% correct. Someone's getting fired. And I don't know if Brian Gutekunst is safe in that scenario. I know Goody went out, made the big swing, got Micah Parsons, but it's not like, oh, hey, you got Micah Parsons. Here's your contract extension, Goody. That didn't happen either. Now, I find it unlikely that Goody would be fired, but if they miss the playoffs, heads are going to roll. Like Ed Policy, it feels like, is not going to stand for that. Yeah, if they miss the playoffs, Matt LaFleur is gone. Goody might be with him.
Micah Parsons is not the only move that Brian Gutekunst made over the last year or so, right, Chu? I mean, you could certainly take the draft into account, and if you think that Matthew Golden is the future there at wide receiver, you have to give him credit for that. But the moves he made, other than Micah Parsons this offseason, have not panned out.
No.
Nate Hobbs has not been a good cornerback. Aaron Banks has not been good for the line. Like, these are issues that you also have to mention when you're talking about Brian Gutekunst over the last year. I don't think Micah Parsons is this great eraser that erases all of these other things.
But is that kind of a wash with McKinney and Jacobs?
From the year before, probably. I mean, you could argue that certainly has to be mentioned.
Don't you? I understand draft hit rate, like 50% is pretty good, right? Like if you hit on 50% of your draft picks, that's good. I feel like your hit rate on free agents needs to be higher because you already have information on how this player is in the NFL. Like you've already got the information in front of you, and if somebody suffers a devastating injury, there's only so much you can do, obviously, but that hasn't been the case for the two guys that they brought in. Like, I don't want to wash it out, too, with as good as last year's free agent draft class is. They weren't going to live up to those two guys because, I mean, one was an all-pro in McKinney, and Josh Jacobs had one of the best seasons that a running back has ever had in the history of the franchise. I knew those two guys weren't going to live up to that this year, but I thought they'd be better than they were.
But do you get rid of both instead of just getting rid of one?
Depends.
I mean, we ripped on the Bears, and obviously they're the Bears, for not doing that when they got rid of
if you get rid of LaFleur, what I hope would happen is Goody would be given football autonomy like past general managers.
He'd hire the coach?
Yes. That is what I would hope for, just to get back to that. Or maybe you just decide to, again, clean house. I have a harder time believing that Goody would be fired, but it wouldn't be shocking. If they finished 9-8 and missed the playoffs, nothing would shock me in terms of who would be let go and who would stay.
Let me throw this out there, too, because you mentioned Dan Campbell before, and you mentioned the dynamic that he has created there in Detroit as far as who calls plays, how he's a manager, sort of manages the staff and whatnot, sets the tone, creates the culture, all of these things we talk about when we talk about head coaches. At some point, if you're not getting it done, I know it's a blow to the ego, but I often wonder if handing over those duties, and I know we talked about this a little bit earlier this week, isn't the right move for a guy like Matt LaFleur. And I'll bring it back to the college level, right? There have been times where, let's use Ryan Day as an example, right? Ryan Day now has a national championship under his belt, under his hat, right? But he also had to give up play calling in order to get there. He had to say, like, you know what? This might not be my forte. Or I'm overwhelmed by all of the things required by the head coach, and I know that I can put somebody and delegate somebody to do this, and we can be better. I wonder if that may be something that Matt LaFleur is wrestling with. Because right now it feels like he is clinging very tightly to that role. And I can't help but wonder if, as we go forward, when some of these warts start to show up, if he would consider, you know what, maybe there's somebody else out there who could do that job better. And I'm not saying they're on the staff now, Gabe. I'm not saying they're on the staff right now. I'm saying, do you outsource that role if you feel like you're overwhelmed by everything that's coming your way?
Can't imagine that would happen. Because Adam Stenovich, it seems that everybody loves Steno, and I don't think they would demote Steno just to bring in a play caller. Because that's what you would have to do if you would go that way. So it doesn't seem like to me that's something that Matt LaFleur would be interested in giving up. I can't think of in the professional game, and maybe Chewy, you can think of one. I can't think of a time when somebody gave up the play calling and it ended up working out in the positive. Now, I know it happened in the short term. You've told the stories of, you know, sometimes Holmgren would be like, I don't have it today, and he'd hand it over to your offensive coordinator and Sherm Lewis. But Holmgren at no point was like, oh, Sherm's going to be the guy going forward. That didn't happen. So, like, to see Stefanski, like, Stefanski's not going to last long in Cleveland, and this is the second time he's giving up play calling now. Like, he gave it up last year, took it back over. When Mike Holmgren gave up play calling only to take it back later, that didn't work out in the long run. I feel at the professional level, giving it up typically doesn't work out.
No. And when Holmgren did it, it was only for like a series or two so he could reset his brain. Because sometimes you fall, you know, Gabe, it's just like golf.
Yeah.
You know, you go birdie. And then you go par, par, and then double. Like, what the hell just happened? I was tearing this up, and the wheels fall off. So then sometimes you need a reset. It's kind of the same thing. My thing is, like, if you're selling yourself as a draft and develop team, where's the develop? I mean, you win the offensive line. Who'd they lose off the offensive line last year? The center?
Josh Myers, yes.
Josh Myers, you pick up Aaron Banks, which we thought was I tell you, when they did that, I'm like, wow, this is going to be a real good upgrade to the offensive line. Big road grader, we're going to be able to run. And they're not playing well. Where's the develop? You know?
The develop would be Zach Tom.
Yeah.
You know, like I would
that
say.
That was a good develop.
So
but
I would
the
say
young
that's
guys,
a develop.
Tucker Kraft.
Tucker Kraft's a good develop.
Reed.
No, I'm talking just strictly O-line.
Oh.
I'm just saying O-line. Because it is. Jen, like you said earlier, it's not just Tucker Kraft going down. It's the O-line and it's the cornerbacks. You know, there's a handful of problems here. So if you're going to sell yourself as a draft and develop, I'm just, you know, I'm blown away by the offensive line. Because I thought signing a Banks, you know, Elton moving to center, the young guys, I thought, would move along. I thought this would be a position of strength than it really has.
I still think that the idea of moving Elton weakened two other positions.
Yeah, I mean, the
like that's such a great way of looking at it, and it's obviously not great in the grand scheme of things, but that's a great way of summarizing what happened with that move.
Chewy, can Elton get better as the season goes? Like, because again, I think that's a big problem for them right now. Elton Jenkins at center.
I mean, he's kind of a big guy, right?
The number of times, even this last week, where there's just somebody coming untouched straight up the middle because Elton decided to block the wrong guy. It's just happening too often. It's just happening way too often. And he's obviously not comfortable there. So that was a miscalculation by Goody and LaFleur to think that he could do it.
Because the center is the quarterback of the offensive line. He is the one setting on how you are going to block a certain front with protection. You know, the quarterback, when you hear him go 53s to Mike, he's setting protection there. It's the center's responsibility to get guys into the right direction. Now, I don't know Elton. I don't know how smart he is. He was a great left guard. I can tell you this. Frankie Winters, not the greatest athlete in the world.
What?
But smart as a tack, and we never made mental mistakes because of Frank when it comes to – we made physical mistakes, but Frank was always spot on how to block it. You know, and it just blows my mind that I think Jason said earlier in the show that there were too many mental mistakes because they were blocking the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
The hell are you doing? This is the NFL.
Wait, is the reason why you, Brett, and Frankie got along so well is because you were really smart on the field but dip leaps off of it?
Wait, he said smart as attack. Okay, I'm sorry, I can't let it go.
Well, yeah, because they're
smart as attack.
Yeah, I understand exactly. It just proves the point of
sharp as attack. Yeah,
it's,
like,
I wasn't telling anybody to
do anything. Okay, I knew
of
my role
about the intellect.
No, but it proves that all three of them were really smart on the field. Off the field, questionable decisions were made.
They did some dumb things. That's fair.
And I think they all came together because they like doing the dumb things together.
If you want to be smart as a tack, you should use Professional Construction Inc. to help with your home projects. PCI, they do remodeling, they do rebuilding, they build a new home, they refinished our basement. The PCI team can be here for you just like they were here for us. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships and doing exceptional work on your project. They've been in business for more than 20 years, and you know you don't stick around that long unless you're doing a dang good job. Check out their work on their website, Professional Construction Inc., ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. We've got Top 8 at 8 coming up next.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it doesn't work.
Chewy,
am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN. I seen your picture.
Your name in lights above it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. This November, BetterHelp is encouraging everyone to reach out, check in on your friends, reconnect with your loved ones, and remind the people in your life that you are there. And if you find yourself needing help, BetterHelp can help. Our listeners get 10% off their first month. Just call #250, say the keyword timeout. That's #250 and the keyword timeout for 10% off and to start your therapy journey, because we're all better with help.
The Top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The Top 8 Answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The Top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The Top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The Top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we got, Gabe?
All right, list of 8 things in front of me. You and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans at 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. I've got a choice for you guys today. I've got two lists. I have a non-sports list and I have a sports list. Which one would you guys like to do today?
Chewy, I think we should do the non-sports list.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you.
All right, so the non-sports list, we are looking at the highest grossing films of 2025. The highest grossing films of 2025. Top eight.
Oh my goodness, this is going to be tough. I know the Mission Impossible. I don't know that. I know that there was a Mission Impossible movie is what I know. I would think that it would have been a top grossing film. Tom Cruise is always really good about making sure that his films get in the top. You guys know I love Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Favorite actor.
Chew, do you like the Mission Impossible guest? Yes?
No. Oh, I like the guest. I've never seen a Mission Impossible.
All right. Yeah. Whatever the Mission Impossible movie was.
Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning was number 9 on the list. $197 million and change is number
ridiculous.
9 on the list.
I'm going to get a mulligan.
yeah, we'll give you a mulligan there.
There's got to be a kids movie. Jen, give me a kids movie.
The Minecraft movie was this summer. The was Lilo
Wicked
and Stitch
year?
Was this summer. Wicked was this.
Wicked was last year. Yeah. This year's Wicked
is
comes out.
Yet? November.
Yes, it comes out later this month.
We're going on the 17th. Yes. Very excited.
You said one to start.
I did?
The most obvious one.
Minecraft.
Yes. Minecraft movie number 1
what?
In
I had no
gross
idea it was
this year.
One.
$423.9 million.
Wow. Is it a billion worldwide yet?
Insane.
It might be, yeah. I just have the U.S. numbers in front of me.
And since we haven't said it in a long time, la 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 lava, cha 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 chicken. My kids were singing that for weeks.
Yeah. So Minecraft movie, the number one highest grossing film of 2025 so far.
Okay.
What did you say, Lilo and Stitch?
Lilo and Stitch is number 2 on the list.
Gosh.
Also at $423 million.
Kids, 423.7 dominating.
Million.
How was that Brad Pitt, the DiCaprio one?
I didn't see it.
What was the name of it?
I don't remember.
One Battle After Another is the name of that movie. Saw it. I enjoyed it. It was very good.
I would say that doesn't belong on the list.
A little bougie.
A little niche.
Think about some of the franchises, you know, though, like...
Wasn't there I'm helping here. I haven't looked any of these up. Wasn't there a Jurassic Park?
There was a Jurassic Park movie.
That's got to be up
Scarlett
there.
Johansson.
Okay.
Jurassic World Rebirth, number 4 on the list, $339.6 million this year. So right now you guys have 1, a Minecraft movie, 2, Lilo and Stitch, and number 4, Jurassic World Rebirth.
Mm.
Very obvious one.
What
superhero.
Superman.
Superman, number 3 on the list, $354 million.
Really?
So you guys have the top 4.
Just trying to think of what were the ones I saw ads for and remember happening.
You know, a movie I did see that I really liked this year was Formula One, F1. Is that going to be on the list, Chu? Did you see Formula One?
Oh,
with Brad Pitt. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not see that. Formula One.
Not on the list.
Dang it!
Not in the top 10.
It was good?
I thought it was really good. Action-packed, if you will.
I want to see the DiCaprio
How
game.
Many do
you
we have
it a
left?
Thumbs up?
I'd give it a thumbs up. It's a little long. Okay. I mean, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Oh,
my
favorite, Gabe. My favorite. He made a movie this year.
Yeah,
Wes Anderson movie.
He no. Never Wes Anderson
those.
Movies are never going to be
ever.
A top grossing
what?
Movie.
Ever.
No.
As much as I love him now.
Yes, as much as I love Wes, his movies are never going to be top grossing. They are not wide reaching.
Love him.
But you
still
but
watching Asteroid City. I've seen it probably 28 times.
But you like the Phoenician Scheme?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen it. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so bummed that Mission Impossible is just outside the top 8.
Yeah, by about $3 million.
We got kid movies. Let's go back to that well. Are there any left there that you remember, Jen?
I have no idea. What do we get? We got Lilo and Stitch.
So you got Lilo
Minecraft.
And Stitch.
Minions? Then a Minions? Was there a Minions?
Minecraft I don't think movie. There was a Minions this last year.
No.
So you guys have the top 4.
January 1st? Like
yeah, January 1st. It has to be released in 2025. Yes.
No idea.
Yeah.
But you guys have the top 4. Minecraft movie, Lilo and Stitch, Superman, Jurassic World, Rebirth.
800-990-3776. It sounds like we are tapped out here on our top 8 at 8. We are looking for the top grossing films of 2025. And I think we did okay. Not great.
I know who this caller is. It's John in Milwaukee.
John in Milwaukee. Good morning. You're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
Can you reset what you got so far?
We have the top 4, Minecraft movie, Lilo and Stitch, Superman, Jurassic World, Rebirth, all in that order. So we're looking for the bottom 4 of the top 8 today of the top grossing movies of 2025.
How to Train Your Dragon.
How to Train Your Dragon is number 7 on the list, $262.9 million.
I didn't even know that.
It was the live action, I think. Kind of like Lilo and Stitch was the live action remake. Same thing with that. Any more?
I think I might know one because the kids. Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer not in the top 10.
K-pop Demon Hunters is a, I think it's on streaming. And then this past weekend, they put it in theaters as a sing-along. Do you think we went and saw that? Sure as hell did.
I'm guessing based on the details you just provided. Yes. Yes, you went.
And when the movie started, I went, how long is this?
This one of those 80-minute movies?
I did not fall asleep, but I did check very quickly to see if it was under 2 hours. It was, thank the Lord. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to Frank in Brookfield. Frank, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 list?
Can I get a quick recap, please?
Yeah, so the top grossing films of 2025 are number 1, Minecraft Movie, number 2, Lilo and Stitch, number 3, Superman, number 4, Jurassic World Rebirth, and we also have number 7, How to Train Your Dragon, looking for 5, 6, and 8.
I believe there are a couple Marvel movies, so I'm going to say Captain America.
So Captain America, Brave New World, was number 8 on the list, $200 million.
Didn't even know that was out.
Yeah, that one came out in February, I want to say.
Fantastic Four?
Fantastic Four, The First Steps. Number 6 on the list, $274.2 million.
Also did not see that one.
We just have one left on the list.
And it was the best movie of the year, Sinners.
Sinners, number 5 on the list, $278.5 million.
Best film of the year, huh? That's high praise for Sinners.
I enjoyed it. I don't know if it's the best movie of the year.
800. Oh, no, we are done. Frank in Brookfield is our big winner this morning on Top 8 Today. I almost went into autopilot there. Sinners, huh? Should I see Sinners? I think it's available on the stream.
Yeah, it's available streaming now. It's a little bit longer.
What does that mean?
2.5, I want to say.
You're losing me. Might have to break it up into parts. Sure, you do that, don't you? You break movies up into parts, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, well,
I thought it was interesting.
2:15. It's 2:15. Like,
and that's enough for today. We'll just put a little pause on it, and we'll come back to it tomorrow.
Yeah, 2 hours. 2 hours 18 minutes is the runtime for Sinners.
Yeah, that's a little long.
But I thought it was interesting. I thought it was pretty good. I think it would be, if you see it on one of your plane rides, wouldn't be a bad one to kind of, again, probably watch in segments, because I don't know if you're going to watch all 2 hours, 18 minutes on an airplane. But
there's a bunch of movies that I want to see that I haven't seen. The Smashing Machine. Wow, that's tough to say. The Smashing Machine.
Yep.
That's The Rock's movie with his friend Emily Blunt.
It did disappointing box office numbers, but I thought he and Emily were fantastic.
You
in
saw
the movie.
It?
Yes.
You saw it. Okay. Yeah. So I believe this month it is on streaming. Mm-hmm. So I kind of put a pin in that and said I would watch
but
that.
But it's by far the best acting he has ever done.
You might be able to watch two of them while you're waiting in the airport for your plane to get there from Texas.
Bringing that back around,
all right. Man, those are fighting words. Chewie's, yeah, honestly. Suddenly Chewie's feisty.
Honestly, that was very rude of you.
I'm sorry.
For putting good juju out into the world about my travels. And Gabe's traveling too, by the way. You know, you could get stuck also.
Well, so yeah, so I'm flying down to Orlando, and that is on the list of the one of 40 airports that could be canceling flights.
Ugh.
I think O'Hare's one as well.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's like the top 40 airports in the country. Yes, O'Hare is on the list, Orlando's on the list.
What are the likelihoods of you're looking at the O'Hare list and you're going, we got to cancel some flights, folks? Lubbock? Doesn't it feel like
it kind of feels like Lubbock would be higher on the list than, are we going to cancel the one coming in from New York?
I wonder if they're going to cross-reference things, though, because if they recognize that there is a big Big 12 game this weekend, BYU-Texas Tech, they might say, oh no, people have to get to Lubbock.
They're not going to realize that BYU-Texas Tech's a Big 12 game.
Well, that's true. But maybe they'll know it's a big game. Maybe they won't know the conference since there's all the realignment, but they might know that it's a big game. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on after this. Guys, if you're looking to get organized, just like I did, call Closets by Design. I'd been working with Doug and his team in Mequon for a few months. They helped design a warm, incredible space for my closet. And it doesn't have to be a closet. Do you have a mudroom? You got kiddos or things always lying on the ground? Maybe they could help bring organization to your mudroom or a pantry that you would like to look a little more pristine. Closets by Design has been a leader in custom storage solutions since 1982. They combine quality, beauty, and a true commitment to customer satisfaction. They offer a no-obligation, in-home consultation, custom designs, and the best value in the industry. If you're ready to get organized, what are you waiting for? Call Closets by Design in Mequon and tell them Jen sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Fellas, listen up. If you're getting ready to take that next step in your life and propose, you already know what I'm going to say. The Jewelry Center, the only place that you should go and the only place you need to go because of the helpful team that Dean Dean, the Dancing Machine, has put together over at the Jewelry Center. Whether you stop in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington just to browse because you think you know, or if you don't know, go to her Pinterest page. See if there's anything there. Bring those ideas in, and that dream ring can become a reality with the helpful team at the Jewelry Center. Whether you're looking for naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, Jewelry Center has you covered. Check them out. ShopTJC.com or stop in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. When you head to the Jewelry Center, tell them the Jen, Gabe, and Chew sent you.
In case you missed it first thing this morning, Joshy has a dilemma at home. His girlfriend, who we affectionately call Mussolini here on the show, and it is affectionately, I want to make sure that that's clear.
As affectionately as you can call someone, Mussolini.
Sure, sure. Has brought home another contraption and put it on the counter. And Joshy feels this should be a us thing. There should be a conversation that takes place before we add another contraption to the counter. And I got to say, Joshy, I think there's a lot of people out there who can identify with this. I think there's a lot of folks out there, men and women, who feel like the counter space is sacred. We should have a conversation about what has earned the right to sit on the counter, and the dehydrator, in your opinion, has not earned that right.
What percent of households do we think have a dehydrator? Like, what elite group did you join when you came home yesterday to find a dehydrator on your counter?
That you're the now proud owner of a dehydrator.
I got to imagine it's less than like a quarter of households.
So low.
I was thinking like single digits. Like, it's got to be less
one?
Than it's got to be less than 10% of households that have dehydrators.
Who has one?
You know, who has one? The Blammer.
But what does he make with his dehydrator?
Beef jerky.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
He's, I was going to say, I would bet like hunters.
Oh, sure, making their own jerky.
Or people who are into, like, you know, maybe foraging things that you could find in rural parts. That's probably an option. But I would imagine most people who are neither of those things, like we are ourselves, probably don't have one and don't buy one just because you want to put some fancy accoutrements on a cocktail for the Friendsgiving that's coming up.
Well, that's the thing. You were saying, Gabe, that the structure itself is very aggressive.
It's a tower.
It's not small, right? It's not. I don't know where you store this thing if it's not on the counter.
Think
like how tall.
Foot and a half, 18 to 24 inches, that. I would imagine. Yeah.
What, do you have to drill a hole in the cabinets, Josh?
It took up a lot of space, let me tell you.
This is wild.
It wasn't that quiet either. I could hear it like throughout the day. Because, I mean, it's
wait,
heat.
As it's going?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
It sounds similar to like an oven would be. You know, when the ovens run, you got the ticking going on of the heat. Yeah, that was largely what I was experiencing.
Is it not? Can you not rent a dehydrator if that's the thing? Like, again, are you guys having so many people over for drinks and beverages that this is something that you can justify as a purchase?
Well, we are going to have this Friendsgiving, which I have no part in and don't want to take part in, but I live there. So
Josh is the biggest anti-Friendsgiving person I know.
Uh-huh. Really? I didn't realize.
Yeah. What do I need that for? I hang out with my friends when I hang out with them. If you want to hang out, I'll catch you at the bar, catch you at the game, wherever. We'll do it the normal way. But Friendsgiving, Thanksgiving, and likely, probably, a Christmas party involved in there as well. So,
and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. We like,
I don't know. You guys do birthdays pretty big.
I was going to say, we like to host. And when I say we, Mussolini likes to host, and I join in. So there. There's definitely occasion where it's used. It's not totally useless. Like last year, we basically slow cooked these on parchment paper in the oven,
And 50% turned out good, but 50% burned because an oven doesn't cook that evenly, especially when you're in an apartment and it's not like the most well-maintained thing of all out there. So, yeah, it felt like an egregious addition. And it seems like something that I'm going to have the task of, once we're done with it, taking it down to the basement.
Over under 5.5 times this thing is going to be used in the next calendar year.
Oh, under. I would put it like 2 or 3 is probably Josh, right where it would be.
How much does a dehydrator cost?
I found out it was a $25 investment.
Oh, but that ain't bad.
Hold on. I just read a little Google search. You can buy dehydrated fruit for drinks. Is that not something we could have just done? We could have
Not for $25, Jen.
Really? Could you go to Amazon and just buy some of that dehydrated fruit for when you need it? Specialty like cocktail and garnish supply. No, not like dried apricots. Jeez, yeah. Not trying to give them the runs. That's what I used to do with my kids when they get stuck. Here, have some apricots. No, but you can go to Amazon and buy the fruit, cocktail fruit. Now, a bag is $46.
Well, now we're talking.
So Mussolini thought, well, it's cheaper to buy the dehydrator and just do it ourselves.
We'll do this and then lug it up and downstairs from the basement.
That's a three pack. Dehydrated pineapple is $15. Dehydrated blood orange wheels, $18. Sorry, Josh.
Yeah, I'm a dehydrated house now. That's just what we do.
You dehydrate stuff. What are you going over to Josh's for? We're dehydrating stuff today.
Do you think you could enter into an agreement where you're allowed to use the dehydrator to make jerky at least once a year?
I probably not. If we're going to keep it, if I'm going to be honest, probably not.
Well, because Josh also, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you want to make your own jerky.
I've never once seen jerky and thought, maybe I should take up jerky making.
To be honest with you, I'm surprised anyone does with the with how much it's readily available
plenty.
Everywhere you go, right? You go to the gas station, jerky. You go to Target, jerky. You go to Costco, jerky. Like everywhere you go has some variety of jerky. You don't need to be making it on your own.
Yeah, but where are we going to get these nice little wheels that we're going to put on drinks that people are going to take off of it, leave on the table, and then never think about again?
Have you found a spot in the basement for your dehydrator after the holiday season? Is it going to go next to the Christmas tree when you take it down?
I have a feeling they will be, located somewhat in the same area. And then it'll get stacked on top of, and then it'll be say, hey, I need this, and then I'll go have to unbury it and bring it back up.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's the cycle of life.
It's amazing. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wrap things up after this.
Hey, it's ESPN Milwaukee listeners. Josh DiMaggio here for my friends at Wanna Parlay, my favorite daily fantasy sports app with the absolute largest payouts on Parlay. Just last weekend, I turned $2 into $30. This weekend, I'm looking at Troy Franklin to have over his receiving yards, Brock Bowers to score a touchdown, Drake London also to score a touchdown, and Derrick Henry as well. Here's what you should do. Download the Wanna Parlay app, click around it when you decide to upload money to play and get into the action. Use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. Download the Wanna Parlay app, use promo code JGC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. You must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought Salvation Army. That they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
When it comes to your home, the smart play is trusting Gina Della and her team at Pella, just like I have. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And this month, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella Windows for as low as $297 a month with 0% interest for up to 72 months. That's the drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping the draft. So don't wait. Schedule that free. That's right. Free consultation today. PellaWI.com. And when you use Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, make sure you tell them Gabe Neitzel sent you.
Are the Green Bay Packers a hot mess right now or just in a rough patch? 58% of people say it's a rough patch. 42% of people say it's a hot mess. Go ahead and weigh in on that on our Infinity Exteriors poll. And then we asked you, how many contraptions or kitchen appliances is acceptable to have out and leave out on your kitchen counters? We're talking toasters. We're talking coffee makers. We're talking the KitchenAid, although I still think that sucker should be tucked away. Winning right now, 3-4. That's so tough to choose. Maybe you rotate the 3-4, right? Like you rotate. And again, are we counting the knife rack or the knife? What is it called? Knife block?
Yeah.
Knife?
I mean, if it's out on the counter, it's taking up space.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily a contraption.
I think people ideally want 3-4 chew, but I think it's more likely you've got like 5 or more.
Depends on what they're calling it. Is it appliances or what's on the counter? Where do you put your keys when you guys go home?
There is
a basket.
Yeah, we have a basket that's on like a different...
It's not on the counter. It's when you first walk in.
It's a different spot.
Yeah. Okay.
3-4 the winner right now with 54% of the vote. Will Deontaush is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.